Chapter 6, The Red Pyramid. Kul reached his lair on the third day. Grim Meneers stood at the edge of his domain, guarding a red-stained path that fed into an immense flagstoned courtyard. A great archway of stone sat in the middle of it, surrounded by warriors and raised up on a black dais. Beyond that was the Red Pyramid, its great shadow eclipsing all. There was no fortress, no stronghold as such. Kul had no need for one. Such was his dominance of these lands. He had all but conquered the Brimstone Peninsula. But his throne room was little more than a stone chair, and the wealth of trophies that surrounded it. Hordes thronged the courtyard, though they were wise enough to give Kul's throne a wide berth. They were some of the many warbands he had brought together to form his Gore Tide. The Blood Reavers and Chaos Warriors present were but a portion of the martial strength of Kul's armies. Blood soaked the warlord's skin, hair, and armor. His skull mask was flecked with arterial spray. Kul had carved a red ruin across the Brimstone Peninsula, severing heads to satisfy his blinding rages and slake his thirst for retribution. Throughout this bloody fugue, barely realizing the carnage he was reaping, a vision struck Kul over and over, like a hammer blow to the skull. More than once it had staggered the warlord, a bestial roar so powerful it had made his ears bleed and his teeth tremble. It was his god speaking to him. Kul's head echoed with the promises of Khorne, bellowed from atop the mountain of skulls where the blood god had fashioned his throne. Kul saw himself astride the lofty peak of the Red Pyramid. He had become a true champion of chaos, axe brandished at the hellish sky, where clouds churned in torment and a crimson rain drenched the land. Kul, too, was painted red. Red with the endless slaughter he had committed in Khorne's name, and red with the eye of the gods upon him.
Chosen. Exalted.
In his mind's eye, Kul saw himself changed, his human body becoming but a shell for what lurked within. He grew, his flesh stretching and blackening with the hellfire of metamorphosis. Armor plate buckled and then split as a grotesquely enlarged musculature broke through.
Pain.
He gritted his teeth, lurching onto his knees. Hugging his chest, he bent over as two immense wings, black and glossy as obsidian, pierced through the skin of his back and unfurled. Horns sprouted from the bony growths in his temples. Hooves tore his boots to shreds. When he arose again, he was no longer a man. A dark aura wreathed his iron-hard flesh, and a rugged mane as black as night trailed from his immense head and neck. A giant stood upon the Red Pyramid, and mortals wept at the sight. Kul had ascended to claim a demonic crown, and war by his master's side forever as a prince of slaughter. Craning back his head, Kul bellowed, and his cry of exultation and fury echoed across the vastness of Akshi. Abruptly, Kul's thoughts returned to what was, not what would be if he were to raise his pyramid of skulls and claim his reward. As he walked the red-stained path, Kul would not forget his promise, nor what had been promised in return.
"An immortal to crown my tribute, lord," he murmured, stepping upon the bone-wrought flagstones of the courtyard.
Grizzlemore snarled in agreement, as if it had somehow been privy to Kul's thoughts of ascension. It loped behind the warlord at a short distance, its muzzle and fangs red from feasting. It halted as its master did. Kul had stopped to regard the gate. It was hard not to. Such was its presence, even with the looming Red Pyramid behind it. The Gate of Wrath was immense, a great and powerful edifice that had stood through the ages and endured wars of conquest. Even from a distance, Kul felt the anger and hatred emanating off the ancient structure. Though carved of stone, it was no mundane ruin. Korn had whispered to him of its raising. It had been anointed with blood, and its very mortar was human bone meal and ground viscera. The archway held within it a portal. Light bled from it, and shadows roamed within this churning miasma of blood, held in place by the confines of the arch. It was a doorway to the realm of chaos, and the blood god's throne of skulls. Warriors flocked to this place of loathing and destruction, drawn by its evil, overwhelmed by the bloodlust it evoked. Hundreds gathered in the shadow of the gate, devouring the battlefield slain, cannibalizing hearts torn from the chests of the fallen. Drums, fashioned from hollowed-out skulls, beat a raucous tattoo in time with the blare of thigh-bone horns. Some danced, a crude and belligerent performance intended to please the dark gods and bring their gaze upon the performer. Others fought for favor. Many just took their fill of flesh. It was ritualistic, shamanistic. Even above the manic fervor of these men, Kul could hear the clangor of industry, the sound carrying across many leagues. The towers. Forged of hell brass and studded with the skulls of the unworthy, there were 8 of these grim monuments. Each marked a point in the star of chaos, the eightfold path upon which all worshippers of Korn trod. And in the middle of that star was the Gate of Wrath. Demon blacksmiths and slaves in their thousands had toiled to raise the towers that stretched far across the Brimstone Peninsula. And though they were distant, nearly lost in the palls of unearthly smoke that blighted the sky, Kul felt their malign presence. Chains that no mortal eye could perceive held the gate in thrall. Each was made not from metal, but from deeds. To the far south lay carnage, conquest, massacre, and destruction. And to the north, fratricide, dismemberment, cannibalism, and butchery. A slaughterer's oath, carved out in death and blood, bound each metaphysical chain to one of the 8 towers, and together kept the Gate of Wrath open. Even then it struggled against its bondage. Though he was still mortal, Kul had sight beyond the corporeal realm. He saw how the chains strained to hold their quarry. The tempest, the one creeping across the heavens in brooding thunderheads, the storm that had brought the golden warriors, was the cause. A threat manifested in Kul's mind. They would come for the gate. As he stepped into the maddening light emanating from the Gate of Wrath, Kul felt an unquenchable desire surge up from within. For the first time since he had arrived, he noticed that the bodies being feasted upon were not just the Gortide's fallen enemies. Many were warriors of Kul's warband, feeding on their own instead of waging war against the Golden Warriors. Kul saw Hrolkar, the Slaver King, Gorklad, the Torturer Lord, Fenskar, the Skull Collector, Agrik, the Beastmaster, chieftains and champions all.
Weak. Wretched.
A tremor afflicted Kul's hands. It grew into a tremble that ran up his entire arm. Then he was shaking, every bone racked by a delirious frenzy that had froth spewing from his mouth. Through a cage of clenched teeth, Kul spat to his fleshhound.
Slake your thirst.
Several of the blood reavers closest to their warlord looked up from their revels, their mouths and jerkins spattered and bloody.
Behold, Lord of Skulls!
Roared Kul, his voice ululating across the encampment until all had stopped what they were doing to look upon him.
A red dawn!
The first blood reaver barely had time to cry out, as Grizzlemore leapt and tore out his throat. Others raised their weapons, at last realizing their lord's madness. It would not save them. Screaming in rage, Kul tore into the throng with an unstoppable fervour. The sun blazed overhead like a baleful eye observing the slaughter. 2 against hundreds. But Kul and his hound would not be denied. His savagery caused some to flee. Those who stood their ground were cut down, their heads cleaved, a great many heads sacrificed unto the altar of corn, from which all violent acts ultimately stemmed. And throughout the carnage, the blood god spoke to his chosen vassal. His voice, the roar of endless destruction and the screaming of the damned. Kul gritted his teeth, but his agony was soon usurped by blinding, all-consuming murder lust. It was a day of blood. A red dawn, as Kul had prophesied. The sun had dipped and grown cold in the black night by the time the massacre was done. Kul sank to his knees. He shuddered with every laboured breath, driven to the brink of exhaustion by his reaping. Razors, not air, soared in and out of his lungs. His heart thundered in a raging tattoo, and though his muscles burned and his limbs ached from the immense tally of the dead, he stood and found himself surrounded by a lake of blood. Countless barbarian heads floated amidst the gore, but it was the reflection of the portal that caught Kul's attention. It began innocuously enough, a bubbling foam that rose to the surface of the crimson pool as the foul slick began to boil. Then there was intense heat, and the stench of dying things, of burned metal and offal, the reek of a furnace. Something stirred within the miasma of blood, a disturbance that formed ripples across the lake. Slowly, inexorably, a horn jutted forth from the congealed blood. It curved into a hook, black as sackcloth and wet like oil. Korn's foot soldier blinked as it became corporeal, rising slowly. Kul saw the chain it had used to gain passage into this realm, and he heard snapping bone as the demon's hooves crushed the skulls from the blood god's endless battlefield underfoot. To those untouched by chaos, the blood letter would have simply appeared to rise as if the lake was as deep as an ocean. Kul knew it was fathomless, and he also knew that no demon of Korn could ever manifest in so gentle a fashion. As the summoning required blood and violence, so too did manifestation, and a host of blood letters had vied for the right to enter the mortal realm. Demon fought demon, ensuring a slaughter from which only the strongest could emerge triumphant. The one before Kul now was the first. Therefore, it was the mightiest. The bloodletter was an exemplar of violence given form. Bent back, limbed with an elongated snout, and red and iron-hard skin shimmering with heat haze. It bowed. Horns dipped in respect, but not acquiescence, as its black and hateful eyes regarded the warlord.
"Are you the one who summoned me?" it asked in both question and challenge, its resonant voice like metal scraping bone. Kul nodded, his axe held loosely in his hand. The bloodletter carried its own weapon. It was forged of no metal known to man or any creature of the mortal realms. A hellblade. "Then,"
uttered the demon, as it drank in the slaughter arrayed around it and the offering in blood,
"we shall serve."
The etheric chains dangling in the pool had no anchor above, but went taut as a horde of bloodletters pulled their bodies forth into reality. Blinking and scenting, their long pink tongues tasted the air. They were not alone. Hulking metal beasts emerged with them, blood crushers, the brass steeds of Korn. They were no mere mounts, they were monsters. Far larger than any horse, there was something distinctly bullish about them, but clad in armour plate stained with the blood of 1,000 slain foes. The beasts bayed and growled, smoke exuding from their nostrils, their fell noises metallic and oddly discordant. Even for Kul, it grated on his senses and filled his mind with visions of conquest. It took only moments for the warlord to have a legion of demon riders at his command, their dread banners swaying with chained skulls and strips of leathery flesh. As one, they raised their weapons. Their leader, one of Khorne's heralds, saluted with its sword.
"Name the ones we are to murder," it rasped,
its blood cinder breath tainting the breeze.
"Vendel Blackfist," Kul replied.
For Khorne had shown him the army that marched on his towers and the one who was leading it.
"Devour his vessels, but bring him to me so I can cut off his craven head."
The herald bowed once more, and the blood crushers surged southwards. The earth trembled under the stampede of their mounts, and red lightning cut ragged strips into the heavens.
"Now you shall face a storm, Blackfist," said Kul.
His deep laughter boomed louder than the thunder.